Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. And together, we welcome you to August, the first Monday of August, August 2nd, 2021. And isn't it weird that, like, the flip of the calendar and suddenly the weather has changed dramatically as we begin to dry out? I think this is probably the first day that we have not had rain in the forecast in some, 10, 20% chance. But right now, there's no chance, supposedly, until later in the week. But things are going to dry out a little bit. Then we may get the return of the summer rainy season. And my goodness, the wettest month ever recorded in Tucson, Arizona, over 8 inches, surpassing August of 1955. That was the previous big wet month here in Tucson. We're coming up now on 11 full years on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Our radio station is 1030's Voice for Trusted News Talk. The call letters are KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, and we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our title sponsor for our Monday political face-off is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe and his family. They've been operating a terrific business since 1985. Check out their revamped and updated website, now open for e-commerce. The website's moesgallery.com, or stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Each Monday, we kick off our week on the program with our Monday political face-off, and today we have a new set of commentators. Well, one of our commentators is not a newcomer to the program, Aaron Rottenstein, former treasurer, Pima County Democratic Party. Aaron, good to see you. How's your summer going so far?
It's going great. You know, you mentioned it, but we were actually at Green Things this weekend.
We love Green Things, of course.
It's a really great place. And, we were looking for some things that were going to go in a really low light room.
Sure.
And they helped us and walked us through it. And it's just a great place with a really wonderful staff.
And I always tell people, when you go to Green Things, the knowledgeable people who can answer just about any question dealing with anything green, they'll take you in the right direction right there on their 13-acre property. Aaron, have you thought about actually running for office? I mean, you're a young guy, and when you were the treasurer, even younger, because that was a few years ago.
Yes.
Have you flirted with the idea? But I know you're very much involved with business here in town. It would be difficult, and you've got a young family.
Yeah, so, Bill, I used to work on Capitol Hill.
Yes.
And when you're in a place like that, you're talking about, money in the billions and trillions, and you're talking about people in the hundreds of thousands and millions. And to be honest, moving to, my practice now as a financial planner and wealth advisor, it was, very, very different because, we work with a lot smaller people. And, obviously the money isn't trillions. But surprisingly, over the years, I've evolved to really valuing those kind of relationships and the idea that I can, really deeply get involved in people's lives. Obviously, I still see value in, kind of that macro world. And, maybe there's a time when my kids, who are 6 and 4 right now, don't care as much if I'm out in the evenings. But, even spending time with clients, I'm deeply involved in the community, spending time at, board meetings and at nonprofits. It's a strain on our family. And, that's what we're focusing on right now, especially after COVID, is making sure we've got as much time together as possible.
Aaron, this announcement today that the Arizona Democratic Party is going to launch a new organizing program. The program will be called Project 1530. Tell us a little bit about it and why it's a big deal.
Yeah, so first off, this is exactly what State Chair Raquel Turan said she was going to do when she, won that spot this last November. She said she wanted to compete everywhere, and it's not a novel concept. It's what the voters in Arizona have kind of encouraged us to do. This last election, we've got 30 state Senate seats. Six of them Democrats got at least 45% of the vote without getting over the hump. And these aren't necessarily the seats you'd normally associate with Democrats being competitive in. You know, it was West Chandler. It was, you know, Payson Cholo. It was, you know, up in 11, which is Marana, where, you know, I think that's really just poor candidate placement from the Republicans that have made that one competitive. You know, on the flip side, Republicans only had one seat in the 30 where they got more than 45% without putting it over the top. And that was a seat that we flipped, that they lost, the Christine Marsh seat up in Paradise Valley. And so the idea that we're, you know, starting early, you know, not just in candidate recruitment, but in terms of, you know, voter registration, communication with, you know, voters themselves, hiring field staff to, you know, marshal folks, is really important down ballot. The Mission for Arizona, which is the state coordinated campaign that, you know, Mark Kelly's folks really, you know, marshaled last year, did exactly what, you know, Gabby Gifford's field program really built a reputation of when she was in Congress. And the combination of, you know, those two assets that we've got going forward, I think should, you know, hopefully it's going to make Republicans put out stronger, more broad appealing candidates, because regardless of who wins elections, I think what we've seen in the legislature this last year, it's very clear that those folks who are in charge of it are not in lockstep with the typical Arizona voter.
Nolan Reedhead is with us for the first time on the Face Off. And Nolan is one-time congressional candidate, first vice chair of the Pima County Republican Party. And welcome to the program. You've heard this new initiative from the Democrats. How are the Republicans answering, or what is their answer to this?
Starting in January and an earlier part of this year, and even before the end of the year, there was Arizona 51, which is a collaboration between private business and the Arizona GOP, and also the Trump victory campaign, to register voters, to work with PCs, and to get them more involved. So that was a great program. That's a statewide program that is in full mass, and it's been in place for many months now. And so that's already been happening. That's already been in full force, and we're seeing tremendous results from that program. We're also seeing just highlighted increased input from the various legislative districts throughout the state, pushing PC involvement, and not only just pushing the registration of PCs, but also the involvement of PCs, getting them involved in voter registration, getting them involved in activities, getting them involved in propositions. And so we're seeing such a phenomenal increase in the number of individuals involved, volunteers, and voter registrations throughout the legislative districts, but also the state as a whole.
It sounds like both of the Republicans and the Democrats are gearing up here for 2022. Is Arizona now a purple state, in your opinion, Aaron?
Yeah. I think it is. And that doesn't mean that every election everywhere is going to be, you know, a squeaker the way that, you know, some of the more high profile races have been the last couple of years. I think you look at a state like Virginia, where in 2008, it went for Barack Obama in a squeaker. The next couple of elections statewide there, Democrats, frankly, had some trouble. There was, you know, a little bit of a bounce back. I think in some ways our message was a little too ambitious for where the state was. But slowly, and in particular as, you know, more professionals, more young professionals migrated to the state from the D.C. area, we own a, you know, very, very gerrymandered House of Delegates up there in a way that the Independent Redistricting Commission won't really allow here. And I think that's the model going forward. You know, looking at the strategies that both parties have going forward, I think there are some real differences. We don't have big business or the Trump campaign trying to do things here. And I sympathize with Republicans that are trying to win elections, because I think Trump is a really difficult problem for them. On the one hand, we saw in 2018, if he's not on the ballot, they have a really tough time winning elections, not just in these squeaker districts, but in some of the places that they should have a little bit more success. The flip side is putting him on the ballot is absolutely toxic to the kind of voters that are deciding these elections, especially in a place like Arizona right now, not just in Pima County, but especially in Maricopa.
Do you think it's toxic having Trump so associated with the party still in the kind of the gorilla in the room, whether or not Nolan, he is going to run again? And let me ask you just generally, is the Republican Party open to those that don't want Trump's voice involved with Republican politics?
Well, most definitely. The Republican Party is a very open tent, if you will, for all voters, whether independent, whether Republican, whether Trump supporter or not. And so we bring in all types of individuals who want really the Trump-type policies that we're looking at, whether it be border security, whether it be fiscal responsibility, whether it be unemployment, low unemployment, whether it be various issues. The Republican Party is an open tent party. And so we invite everyone, and we're seeing that. We're seeing that yes, we can have robust debate within the party, whether we support President Trump or not. But you're seeing that his rallies, the support for him is still very, very real, very, very palpable. But the Republican Party, the policies themselves are really what are attracting individuals and really, I think, what's going to bode well for them in 2022.
All right. Yeah,
Hold your thought there, because we're over a bit here on the break. Aaron Rottenstein and Nolan Reedhead, stay where you are. Nolan seated to my right, and Aaron appropriately seated to my left. We'll take a break. It's Buckmaster and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our team of commentators on our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Seated to my right, Nolan Reedhead, who is an attorney here in town, a one-time congressional candidate, and he's the first vice chair of the Pima County Republican Party, and Aaron Rottenstein, former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Aaron's a very successful young in the financial industry, young guy in the financial industry here in town. We have an election on Tuesday, Nolan. There are no Republican candidates on the city of Tucson ballot. I'm sure you would like to see, hope that that will change. Will it change in the future?
We definitely plan that's the case. And so when we first, this executive committee of which I'm a part, joined ranks in December of 2020, we pushed it, but it's a matter of finding, you know, individuals that are interested in that race, that are robust and wanting to experience that and go through that. But we were unsuccessful up to this point, because you have to start not just within 6 months, you really have to start well within a year of running for that office. And so, but that's the, we are planning, we have many individuals that are interested in going forward in various districts. And so we're planning that as a PMA GOB to get individuals that are looking to better the city of Tucson and run for those offices. So that's the plan of the PMA GOP.
It's a solid Dem town right now, Aaron.
Yeah, you know, we see this every cycle where Republicans complain about Tucson. And, you know, one of the things I love about your show, Bill, is you focus on, you know, really great stories going on in our community. And I think a lot of folks can acknowledge that there's some really exciting things going on, stewarded by our city council and mayor. They complain and then they don't run. And they complain and they don't run. And I don't care whether they're going to win or not. I think you need to have a little bit of skin in the game in order to, you know, genuinely and authentically complain. Now, I understand why they have a real problem with candidate recruitment, and it kind of goes back to that idea of a big tent, right? Like, it's great to say that, and it feels really good to say that. The Republican Party is not a big tent right now, and I think you look at somebody like Liz Cheney as a great example of that. You know, this is a dyed-in-the-wool conservative that I've never agreed with anything on. Never agreed with her parents on, don't even agree with her going back to that state and running. But she's been absolutely excommunicated for veering off of the message. A lot of the reason they have a tough time being a big tent right now is because there aren't policies. You know, we still talk about Republicans like they're fiscally responsible or fiscally conservative. That's not the case. The only accomplishment that Donald Trump had was the Mitch McConnell tax bill, which is going to add $2.5 trillion to our debt over 10 years. It gave the average voter a cup of coffee a week in terms of a tax cut, and it was millions and millions of dollars for folks making over $10, $20 million a year.
Oh, I think Nolan is going to strongly disagree with what you're saying. And when you say the only thing that Trump accomplished, I think you have to give him credit about the vaccine, right? You would give him the credit for Operation Warp Speed. Would you concede that?
You know, Donald Trump deserves just as much credit for the vaccine as Al Gore deserves for the internet.
Okay.
Now,
all right,
we've had a real problem getting conservatives in this country vaccinated, and it's endangering my kids who are too young to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
If telling them that Donald Trump invented this thing is going to get them to their doctor's office and get the shot, fine.
Okay, now Nolan, it's your turn.
I would strongly disagree with that, because you look at through the unemployment rates that were with blacks, with Hispanics, with women, with youth, the lowest unemployment in decades, the trade policies, the border security, which we're seeing is disastrous right now for Kamala Harris and the Biden administration. You're seeing that the tax benefits that were in place. You're seeing our relationship with Israel and foreign the reset in the Arabian Peninsula and those various areas. There was a lot done under the Trump administration, and so also he got the vaccine moving. But you're seeing, you talk about vaccinations, you're seeing a low percentage of those individuals in the black community, the Hispanic community, they're getting vaccinated. So it's not Trump supporters, it's many other individuals who are just concerned about the vaccine and whether they get it or not. That's their medical choice, not that of some bureaucrat or some politician. And so there was a lot accomplished under the Trump administration, and you're going to see building on that for the term election coming up in 2022 on those policies.
Let me keep it with Nolan a second about the infrastructure bill, $1 trillion. Is this a rare example, Nolan Reedhead, of bipartisanship that we have not seen in a long time?
If it stays with infrastructure. You're seeing those who didn't vote for the move to debate. The concern is, number one, they're not haven't quite seen the text of the bill. And number two, how are we going to pay for it? Right now, we have over $1 trillion from the COVID relief funds that, my opinion, should be reallocated to, if they're going to allocate it specifically for bridges, airports, roadways, airways, and waterways, and broadband, and some of those things that are, I think, are necessary for the improvement of our infrastructure. But if we're getting into Green New Deal and what Nancy Pelosi's trying to accomplish, the $5+ trillion Green New Deal and special interests, that's what we don't want to get into. So we want to pay for it through proper funds, not pay for it through raised taxes, not pay for it through other sources. Let's be able to pay for it responsibly. Let's not increase our debt. And let's pay for those things that are specific and not bring in special interest pet pork projects that always come in other bills that you see of this magnitude.
Aaron, it's your turn.
Yeah, this is a massive, massive win for the Biden administration. And to your point, bipartisanship has been few and far between.
Yeah.
Over the last 4 years.
A long time.
And, frankly, when Mitch McConnell's been in charge of the chamber, Biden, as a senator, had a long history of doing this. And, you know, when I worked in the Senate, and this is 10 years ago now, uniformly the most respected person in the Senate. And, folks like Lindsey Graham, who've, clearly gone off the deep end, were very close with him, not just personally, but in terms of, working together on policy. This bill is a great start, but we've got a lot more to do. Infrastructure, by definition, is helping people get to work, helping people get the things they need to do to work. And this bill starts on it. It's about $100 trillion in, bridges.
You mean $1
trillion? Excuse me, $100 million. No, when you break up this bill.
Thank goodness it's not $100 trillion.
Yeah, it's about $100 million in bridges. The Biden plan wanted $150. Okay. We need that. Okay. This bill had about $10 billion in broadband access expansion. Mm-hmm. Biden wanted $40. And you look at something like that, that's one of the biggest multipliers you can have for helping people get to work, not just jobs to build that and drop that line, but the ability to work anywhere. And we've seen how valuable that is. We've seen how transformative that is for a place like Tucson, a place like Arizona, that, me, your kids can stay here and compete for jobs in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco, places that have high wages. And then the other thing is, it's not just roads and highways and bridges that get us to work. It's having the ability to know that your family is going to be able to be left somewhere safe and beneficial to do that. The Biden plan has another $400 billion in elder care, earmarked in that bill. And hopefully we can get that through in reconciliation. The idea that that isn't just as important to working people that are, worried about their parents to get them to work is just not a reflection of the reality that American families, Arizona families are dealing with right now. And so this is a great start, but we still have a lot more work to do.
Okay, Nolan, you'll have the last word.
Yeah, I mean, we want something that's going to be truly beneficial to the American people. We want, if we're going to do broadband, especially as I ran for CD1, you see a lack of broadband and those internet access, especially up in the reservation areas, the rural communities. And that would be a great benefit to Arizona and the Arizona people. But if we get into free college tuition, free this, free that, the socialist aspect of it, which Nancy Pelosi and others are pushing, that's going to be detrimental to the American people, especially when we get into inflation. We're seeing inflation on homes, used cars, furniture, especially as families are going back to school with clothing. I have a son that's going to be a senior. We're seeing the increase in prices. And if this $5+ massive spending bill happens, we're only going to see inflation increase. And it's going to hurt those on fixed incomes, the elderly, those with lower incomes. We're going to see people hurt, and that's what we don't want. So let's stick to infrastructure. Let's use under $1 trillion. That's what's already allocated, and not have more governmental spending.
All right, Nolan Reedhead, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with
and
you, Bill.
Aaron,
and you, Aaron.
Always a pleasure.
It's
thank
always
you.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are conveniently located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and check out their website, moesgallery.com. We'll be right back.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the, I almost said to the Monday edition, which it is, but it really feels like a Monday, doesn't it? Here on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Green Things, our favorite nursery. Really, 3384 East River Road, they've got everything you need for the nursery. Some beautiful fall plantings are now in, and with the rain, boy, you're going to make your garden look super great. Check it out, not only Green Things for the green things, but Zocalo Village for all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Here are a couple of websites to keep in mind, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is retired four-star general John Wickham Jr., who served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of the UN Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's the author of Korea on the Brink, chronicling the dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. General Wickham was critically wounded in Vietnam and spent over a year in the hospital recovering. He returned to Vietnam, where he was responsible for negotiating the release of all of the prisoners of war. And he joins us on the live line now from his home in Oro Valley. General Wickham, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill, and a wonderful introduction and wonderful to be on your great program.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. And I was thinking about, as I was reading this story in the Wall Street Journal about the airlift of Afghan interpreters arriving in the United States, and I was thinking about going back to the Vietnam era, and an era you remember so well. General Wickham, we left a lot of people who were trying to help the United States. We left a lot of them behind, didn't we?
That's right. It's good to pick up on that point, Bill, because it's more than just Afghanistan, but Vietnam, we left tens of thousands of people that helped us and continue to be involved. And there's a point you know so well from your international affairs activities, that when we solve problems or try to solve them in the world, we have to do it with other countries. And the idea that we can step in and do it all on our own, or just listen to us and we'll tell you how to do it, isn't going to work. We should have learned that lesson in Vietnam, and we didn't. We got to have allies to work out the problems. And the Afghan problem is one where we've got to use Pakistan and India and China and the U.S. and Russia to solve the problem of Afghanistan. And we can't do it ourselves, so you're exactly right, Bill.
When we went into Afghanistan over 9/11 and we got bin Laden, and you got to wonder why at that point, going back to your point, the United States always feeling like we've got to do this thing alone. That would have been the time to bring in all these other parties to help out, because we had seen the Soviet experience in Afghanistan, which was a complete disaster. We followed down the road of these other countries that have made mistakes. Why do we not learn from the past, General Wickham?
I think in part, Bill, because of the origin of our country, that we have forgotten that we became an independent country with the help from other countries. And therefore, we think we've done it alone. And you know, at the Constitutional Convention, when George Washington was chairing this convention, and the delegates were very upset about things and were very disorderly. And so Washington asked Ben Franklin, 88-year-old, to address the group. And he did. Ben Franklin got up and he said, "You know, delegates, we have entered the war and finished the war with God's help. We could not do it alone. And if we try now to do this Constitutional Convention alone, we're going to have trouble. So we need to ask for God's help as we draw up this Constitution." Well, the delegates agreed, and they did, and they wrote the Constitution that very day. And ever since that time, every meeting of the Congress begins with prayer. And so I think Washington and Ben Franklin in particular sort of oriented us in the right way. And we need to think about that as we look to the future, that yes, we need God's help, but we also need other nations' help, as we do with Afghanistan. And I think we're beginning to learn that lesson with this current administration, which is an excellent leadership in Biden. And so I'm hopeful that we're going to make some progress now. North Korea is a serious challenge for us, as well as other issues in the world.
What goes on? What would you advise the Biden administration as they look at the situation with North Korea? It really hasn't been in the headlines that much. It's been kind of under the radar screen. The deteriorating situation in Afghanistan is really getting all of the foreign affairs oxygen right now. What would your advice, though, be concerning policy with South and North Korea, General Wickham?
I think we need to recognize the history behind the separation of the two nations. It was at the end of World War II, and it was an arbitrary decision to draw the line at the 38th parallel and to separate the countries. And we created part of the problems ourselves. Now we need to realize that the origin of the country was partly our doing. And if we're going to put it back together again, we need to recognize that Kim Il-sung, who is the founder of North Korea, was in charge of a broken nation. And he tried to do it during the Korean War, which was unfortunate. But we can use the North Korean leadership in a responsible way to rebuild North Korea. I heard a lecture by an expert on North Korea recently, and they're making the point that the North Koreans feel that they are on a sacred mission and that they have the obligation to reunify Korea their way, not our way. And they feel an obligation to do that, and the Korean War was part of that. So we need to recognize in dealing with the North Korean leadership that you have a responsibility. Now, we need to recognize also that they are a nuclear power, and not to dismiss them and say, give up every weapon you've got, and then we'll talk to you about the future. I think we need to recognize them as a nuclear power. Let's limit the weapons that you have, as we did with the Soviet Union during the Cold War, where the Soviets did give up thousands of weapons and agreed to unification on international terms. So I think we can do this in a responsible way, but it's going to take quality leadership, and I think we've got that kind of leadership now in the White House.
All right, General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And how are things going with you? You've turned 93 years old this summer, correct?
That's right. One of the reasons for doing so well, Bill, is your wonderful program that is an uplifting thing to recognize that here is an individual that is giving his talent for media activity and his connections to inform American people for a better future. And we need to do that as a society and do more of that the way you are illustrating it with your own personal activity and your professional activities with your wonderful program.
Well, thank you very much. On that note, we will say thank you very much, double to you, General Wickham, and all the best to you, and we'll talk to you next month. Thank you, sir.
God bless, Bill.
All right, General John Wickham, 4-star general. Boy, he's sounding good. 93 years old, and he's still got lots of wisdom for all of us. We'll take our break right here. General Wickham appeared on our live line, courtesy Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our Mexico report with Keith Rosenblum is next. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I have a dear friend that was over in Silver City in Grant County just this weekend, and she gave me a kind of a progress report on how beautiful things are looking over there. They've had a lot of rain, like we have, so the Gila National Wilderness is looking really good. They were doing some hiking over there, and terrific. Great outing, 3-hour drive, approximately 3 to 3.5, depending on where you are in the Tucson Valley, but it's not far, and lots to do. As I mentioned, the hiking, and there's the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For more ideas on places to visit over there and some great places to stay, and there really are some great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Time for our monthly Mexico reporter with longtime border reporter Keith Rosenblum, who is our Mexico contributor on the program. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I am ready to contribute.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping you are. You're out of the gate like a racehorse, ready to go. And I want to ask you, the United States now hits 70%, a month later than President Biden's goal of hitting 70% of those eligible to get at least one shot. And I'm curious, how are they doing, our friends south of the border? How is Mexico doing in the rollout of vaccine there?
Well, let me retract when I said to you at the onset, I'm ready to contribute. I actually don't know. I will say that President Lopez Obrador and President Biden have in common this cheerleader, go get vaccinated right now. Mexico is well below where we are statistically. And that's because, number one, this is a kind of a funny thing, but Mexico is still a rural country. The populations are still many in the rural areas. We have, you know, towns of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 in the mountains. The Mexican military has been a part of the daily. In fact, this is, I think today was 653 of the Lopez Obrador press conferences, of which I've listened to probably more than half. They're the ones that are live every day, except for the weekend. And Mexico has a combination of the vaccines and has hit, I think the most recent I knew was they were doing people finally in their 50s, but still an awful lot of Mexicans are coming to the U.S., flying up because there's no restriction on flying. We still have a veto in effect by land until the 21st of August, and we don't even know. This is 16 months where we haven't let people come up. But we, that is you and me and anyone else for the U.S., can go down with no problem whatsoever. And the Mexicans who have wanted to beat their system have come up on either regular commercial flights. There's an American Airlines flight daily from Hermosillo into Phoenix, or charter flights. And it was, as I think we talked about last month, there had been a charter flight that had actually crashed out of Hermosillo Airport 2 or 3 months ago. And I knew several people who were on board. And I thought to myself at that time, gee, I wonder why they were traveling together, because they weren't people that otherwise would have known one another.
Right.
And there was another friend who was going to pick someone up at Tucson Airport that said, oh, that's because they were all coming up on a charter. There were seven in a Cessna, and it was overloaded, and it crashed a couple of miles outside of to the north of Hermosillo Airport. Anyway, they were coming up on one of those charters, landing over at Millionaire, by Tucson Airport, and then to go back. Anyway, there's ways a lot of Mexicans have come up to be vaccinated, and which they can do as long as they fly.
Well, Keith, let me ask you, the vaccine that's being used in Mexico, I know Chile has relied heavily on the Chinese vaccine, and it has shown to be not very robust in fighting COVID. Do you know if they're using American vaccine down there, or American-produced vaccine?
I know that it's been the combination of the Chinese, the U.S., because López Obrador by brand tells you which ones are being distributed. And I don't know. There's the Johnson & Johnson, I believe. The answer to your question is I don't know what the distribution of them is. I know that in different parts of the country, they've used different ones. And I've watched as during the press conferences, it's kind of a ploy, but they've actually during the press conference, López Obrador, the president, will break away and go live to Mexico City, where another plane load of vaccines is coming in. And they'll say, they'll have the pilot say this is coming in. The Mexicans love it. It's theater. It's political theater, but it's also endearing to a citizenry that has for a long time kind of been excluded about what its leadership is doing. So the idea that you would have real time coverage of a Chinese charter or a plane coming from Cincinnati, a FedEx charter carrying vaccines is an exciting thing. I don't know the answer to the efficacy and of which vaccines has been distributed. No, I know that Mexico has had a mishmash because they don't have the production there. So they've been getting Chilean, Argentine, Russian, they have the Sputnik, plus Chinese. But I don't know what the breakdown is.
We talked last month about the border and how devastating the situation has been for Nogales, Arizona. But you said that, I believe you said Nogales, Sonora is doing pretty good.
I know that the border rates on both sides are identical, which is what makes it a kind of a farce for us to be restricting entry. We have the same numbers. So that when President López Obrador was in Baja recently, he was talking to people from San Diego who'd gone down to talk to him, and they had made that same case. It's like, Mr. President, helped open the border, although that was not López Obrador's decision, but rather the U.S. government's, because our rates are identical. And so to somehow restrict movement, it would be as if we decided that Tucson and Phoenix should somehow be isolated from one another. It makes zero sense. And so the Mexicans are as vaccinated as we are. The border areas, they're as vaccinated as we are because they made the border a priority. So what I said a few moments ago about the statistically the country being below where we are does not apply to the border area. They've actually had Tijuana, Nogales, Juarez, Matamoros, all the border cities, I think, are right at the same level as we are.
Overall, Mexico has weathered the pandemic pretty darn well. The economy, right?
Mexican economy received zilch support. Imagine this. Imagine while we're getting our federal government checks to keep our economy. Mm-hmm. The Mexican government gave virtually nothing to its private sector or to its citizens. On the other hand, independent of that policy, President López Obrador now has half of his country receiving some kind of direct check from the government anyhow. In other words, it's not a cause effect. It has nothing to do with the virus. It has everything to do with a president that decided that he really needs to be funneling cash directly to the elderly. I'm getting to be elderly myself, so I better not call it that. Let's say people who are 68 and more, and to students and to single mothers. The guy has decided that there's certain, he really is a very messianic figure who in every press conference talks about los humildes, the humble people of Mexico, los pobres, the poor people. And he's on this single mission to be their savior. It really is. And they now get a card, a debit card every month, and they get a pension that is, depending on which category they fit into, is anywhere from, I want to say, it's actually the payment is every other month, but the monthly amount is somewhere in the vicinity of 2,500 pesos, maybe $125. So actually you do keep people from starving with that kind of payment. And Mexico has never had that before. They've never had a systematic kind of social security safety net. And so it does work for a lot of people. And this is endeared a president who in most places would be considered a populist salesman. It's like the U.S. I think often about how it took Obama and liberal policies for him to create a pendulum that would bring in a Trump. And in Mexico, it took Enrique Peña Nieto, who was unresponsive to the Mexican public and who kind of allowed business as usual from the pre-party mold, to create the fertile circumstances for López Obrador to come into power.
Very interesting. I did not know that about that. You were saying almost half of Mexicans are getting some kind of supplement from the government. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it explains why this guy, the party itself, the Morena Party, doesn't have nearly the lure that this one charismatic man has. When I say charismatic, he's not at all, but he depends on it, not in a positive way, but he does win people over. It's very much a personality-driven, like a what was the guy's name, a Pinochet or a Trump. You know, they're one person, and the party just kind of follows in lockstep because they see that the people have romanticized him and have idealized him, and so therefore the party shapes its platform to suit him, and that's what happens in Mexico. What has happened in Mexico?
Thank you, Keith Rosenblum. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Keith.
My pleasure, Bill.
All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster saying, "Have a great afternoon, everybody."